Step across this line, I dare you. It's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A Medicare podcast overdue for a visit to the dentist. And now, shining example to He-Man everywhere, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. As our announcer, Drew McMillan, my Canadian nephew, just told you, we are here to do Medicare stuff. I think that's what he said. I don't know what he said. I'm assuming it was something very complimentary about me or to me. He's my favorite nephew. Well, he's one of my favorite nephews. And he lives in Canada, and he opens every episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. We are here to help people feel more comfortable about crossing over from Obamacare to Medicare. It takes just a few decisions, and in order to feel comfortable with the whole process, you might need a few facts. In order to make that process more palatable to the average person, I have written a book called Medicare for the Lazy Man, Simplest and Easiest Guide Ever. And you can get that book at Amazon.com in paperback form, in Kindle ebook form, and in Audible form. And then you may also get a paperback with bright, colorful illustrations at BarnesandNoble.com. So those are your choices for getting the book. Now, I am late this year in getting the 2022 book done. So the only major changes that would transpire between the 2021 book, which is on sale everywhere right now, and the coming 2022 book is going to be dollar sign type information. In other words, here's what the cost of this coverage is for the coming year. Here is what the deductible is for the coming year. Those things have all been adjusted by the government. And then the cost of Medicare supplements will eventually follow accordingly. But the basic facts, the basic knowledge about Medicare, the basic principles of Medicare that you want to know about are all pretty much the same. No big revelations coming in 2022. It's mostly just in the small details. So what we do at this time, typically in an episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, is wake Randy up. He is over there prepared to spin the knobs and slide the slides to make this thing sound better than I could ever make it sound. But often he drifts off when he hears the word Medicare. He's just not that excited, generally speaking. What do you say, Randy?
Medicare, I'm really excited about this one this morning because you know why?
Are you? Why is that?
Well, you know, as we just chatted briefly before we got on the air, which we often do, a lot of our interesting conversation actually happens before we start recording. But, you know, I was telling you about that magic yellow tow rope that I saw on YouTube.
Yes. Yeah, it sounds like a magical thing. That's for sure.
And I looked up real quick before we started recording here, and I don't know if this is the one, but I think I found it. But I'll give you the actual name of it after we get done. But it's not cheap.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right.
A 35 foot, one of these magical, they call it a kinetic tow rope.
Okay.
And it's got shackles with it. $330.
Cool. Oh, my God. Oh, for something that you might use once every couple of years. The reason this subject came up a few minutes before our recording session started is that my wife came home from church. And it's a Sunday. It's a bright winter day, a January day in Illinois, meaning the driveway is a solid sheet of ice. And the gate is about 1,000 feet away or more. Maybe it's 0.2 miles or more. And so I walked into the kitchen to refresh my beverage. And the wife was there having returned from church, and she said, I got a little problem. Go look out the window towards the gate. Go look up the driveway. And sure enough, there's her car sideways in the driveway with the front end in a snowbank. And so that's a problem I'll be thinking about while we discuss Medicare because after I'm finished recording, we're going to have to do something about getting her car out of the ditch.
Well,
so anyway, Randy was telling me about this beautiful, this beautiful new device. I didn't realize it was going to be that pricey.
Well, I was telling Doug about this magical thing I saw on YouTube. This gentleman owns a towing company that does a lot of, you know, recovery of cars that have gotten stuck out in the ditch in 17 feet of snow and that kind of stuff. People that think a four-wheel drive will go anywhere. Well, as I've often told Doug, you know, given that he knows it too, but if you can't keep the wheels on the floor, four-wheel drive doesn't do you any good.
Absolutely not. Ice, four-wheel drive is no friend on ice.
So I was telling you about this magical tow rope this fellow was using in YouTube, and I'm going to find the actual brand name, and I'll give it to Doug. But it was a thing where it was a kinetic type of situation where you could hit the end of this rope going 5 or so, 6 miles an hour, and it would absorb the energy of that and apply it to the vehicle you were pulling out of the ditch over the course of time, rather than like with a chain and it pulls the bumper right off and the guy's still sitting in the ditch.
Yeah, yeah. This sounds like a magical thing. It's magically expensive, but it's something that I'm looking forward to giving consideration to anyway, because I've had a lifetime of people getting stuck in the wintertime in Illinois, and frankly, I'm sick of it, Randy.
I'm trying to talk Doug into putting tracks on his Jeep, but I don't think I'm quite there yet.
That's a little pricier than this magical kinetic rope would be.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it looks cool as heck.
Oh, it does. Oh my God. If you went up to the end of your road or under your driveway with that track Jeep, there would be people stopping to look at you.
It's like driving on four triangular things, right?
Yeah.
The track mechanism is a triangle.
Yeah.
It's got that.
Yep. Yeah. And the upper part of the triangle, just picture it's an equilateral triangle. And just picture the upper part of that triangle is hooked to the, in the case of a Jeep, obviously it's hooked to your hubs. And that's your drive mechanism. And then obviously the steering wheel does whatever it used to do. But it's basically a Jeep. It's a Jeep with a tracks, with four tracks.
Kind of reminds me of one of the summers that I worked at Caterpillar. there's a giant Caterpillar plant in Montgomery, Illinois. And what it does is it manufactures these giant Caterpillar tractors. But it starts the process, you know, if you're a newbie coming in there, they start you out on really nasty, stupid work. And I got like three promotions the first week I was there because I could read and write and so forth. And I wound up being in charge of a giant 2-story tall milling machine. I had to mill these frames, but they never bothered to volunteer what the frames were for. And so finally I started asking around and somebody, you know, kind of walked me through the process. I was milling and smoothing out the surfaces on frames that the tracks wrap around. They mount the wheels inside these frames.
Cool.
And then they wrap the tracks around them. Yeah, it was kind of cool to understand finally my little part of the whole process of manufacturing. And then the most fun day ever, the whole time I was at Caterpillar, was when there was a huge explosion. And I thought, oh my God, you know, and the whole place was shaking for just a second. And all these hillbillies kept running. They were like, it was like a stampede of what do they have in Australia? Kangaroos. It was like all these guys are jumping over all the parts bins and the machinery and everything to run over and see what happened at the explosion. And what it was, they test the fuel tanks by pumping 90 pounds of air pressure in them inside a protective cage. And so this one let go. Apparently the weld wasn't good enough on an edge or something. And so it, of course, was the loudest thing I've ever heard in my life, but it was inside a protective cage. So no harm, no foul, but all these hillbillies trampled me running over to see what it was, see what was going on.
Hey, Bill,
I kept my nose to the grindstone though.
Yeah. I think that tank wasn't good. I think it failed.
Yeah. Well, they didn't really have to think about it too much because the thing was in pieces, I guess, you know, or all, you know, torn up.
Yeah. If the nearby operators are flat on the floor, you know, I think that tank wasn't good.
Well, it turns out they built a protective cage. So these guys probably just laughing. Look what.
Well, you know, they do. They do the same. Fun. They do the same thing with big truck tires. They put them in a cage.
Oh, okay.
Before they inflate them, because well, big truck tires, big any sort of equipment tires, they put them in a cage because if they let go, they've got split rims on them. If you know what that is.
Yep.
And if one of those split rims lets go and it's not in a cage, you might as well kiss yourself goodbye.
Well, my thought was that they don't put enough pressure in those tires to cause a huge problem. Am I wrong about that?
Well, in the case of test, you have to put more pressure in it to get the split rims to seat.
So you're talking about testing. Okay.
And then you bleed it off because once they seat, they're good. But you have to put some serious pressure in there to get it to seat.
Because when you go to the drag strip, they air those things down to like 6 pounds, 5 pounds. And people aren't aware of that typically. But in the case of what you were talking about, it's either testing or mounting for the first time that they have to be protected from the consequences, I guess.
Pretty cool. And they are pretty cool. So you know what we need to talk about now, don't you, Dad?
I know, and I'm holding it right in my hand. I'm ready to go. Just stop bringing up interesting things, will you? Interesting topics. So I've got an article in my hand here that may answer a question. I haven't read it thoroughly yet, so you're going to learn with me. But it may answer a question that I've always kind of had a hankering to know about. It is about Medicare plus VA benefits, because occasionally I'm asked by somebody who is a veteran, and I'm asked whether they need Medicare at all or whether they can just do with their Medicare benefits and be perfectly protected for the rest of their lives. I am a cautionary kind of guy, and I'm a conservative guy, so I generally tell them more is better. Even if you have the VA benefits, you might want to consider Medicare anyway, because Medicare is good everywhere. And my thought about VA is it's sometimes inconvenient to avail yourself of VA medical services. I don't know that that's true for everybody, but I know that my uncle, when he was he was like 95 years old, and he had a hot rod Pontiac Chevy Camaro and the Pontiac Firebird were the same car, basically. And so he had this Firebird. He would get out on the road and drive across rural Texas to get to the VA hospital and gather speeding tickets as he went along. And all these guys would write him warnings because he was so old. They figured, we're probably never going to see this guy again. He had a collection of speeding ticket warnings like nobody would ever believe, but he had to do that to go to the VA hospital to get treatment for whatever he had. And I don't know that that's as inconvenient for other people that are veterans, but let me read this article and see if we can learn something about VA plus Medicare. So the title of the article is, and it's addressed to agents, two is better than one, combining the power of VA benefits and Medicare. And this article is about 4 years old. So, but I believe the principles are still going to be the same. They're still going to hold true. So it says approximately 22.6 million Americans are veterans, 9.1 of which are over the age of 65. And that's according to the 2010 census. From World War II veterans to Vietnam War veterans, senior men and women all over the nation have served in active duty positions. Since the American Revolution, the U.S. government has committed itself to providing and supporting veterans through a variety of programs and initiatives. These programs have evolved into the most comprehensive system of assistance for veterans in the world, the Department of Veterans Affairs. Part of that program includes health care. We'll take a look at what Veterans Affairs, VA, health care means to seniors, I hate that term, looking into Medicare, and what it means for agents that welcome a veteran as a client. So if you're an agent, listen up. So, the next section is how VA benefits are distributed. Individuals who serve on active duty in the military and were discharged or released for reasons other than dishonorable can apply for a VA health benefit. Eligible veterans are assigned to coverage based on a priority level of 1 through 8. The VA uses priority levels to balance the demand for VA healthcare enrollment resources. Now, that's interesting to me because I've had my friends tell me about priority levels, but I never knew that it was a tool that the VA uses to balance the demand for healthcare enrollment resources. From 2001 to 2014, there has been a 78% increase in VA enrollment, which may mean changes in available resources. Ultimately, this may reduce the number of priority levels. Now, remember, this article was written in 2017, so they're talking about a measurement period from 2001 to 2014. As individuals' priority level determines the priority of access to facilities and benefits, as well as copay amounts for things like inpatient hospital stays and medication. For this reason, seniors, don't use that word. Seniors are on low priority, or seniors who are on low priority may not be getting their optimal options for care through the VA alone. That's where Medicare comes in. And the next section in this article, it says the power of two. Original Medicare creates a secondary option for clients who have VA benefits, giving them more flexibility in their healthcare options and possible cost savings. When seniors turn 65, they are eligible to enroll for Part A, which covers hospitalization, as well as Part B, which covers doctors and outpatient services. Original Medicare creates a secondary option for clients who have VA benefits. This coverage allows them to see any provider accepting Medicare, so there's no waiting for a pre-authorization to use a non-VA approved facility or other provider. VA benefits may deny coverage to some veterans, even in emergency situations, if care was at a non-VA approved facility. Medicare is an easy way to prevent this disaster. When should clients enroll in Medicare? Your veteran clients should enroll when they are first eligible for Medicare benefits, which typically means when they turn 65. Down the road, if your client is older than 65 and loses VA coverage or decides to enroll in Part A and Part B afterwards, he or she will have to pay a late enrollment penalty that will permanently increase their Part B premium for the rest of their life. Encourage your clients then to give themselves double protection and prevent any unnecessary expenditures. And the next section is, what about Medicare Part D? And that's drug plans, prescription drug coverage. VA drug coverage is considered creditable, which means it's as good or better as Medicare options. It also means your client doesn't need to enroll in a Part D drug plan. Should your client lose their VA coverage down the road and choose to enroll in a Part D drug plan, they will not be subject to a late enrollment penalty as long as they enroll within 63 days of losing their VA benefit. One reason a client may benefit from both VA coverage and a Part D plan is if they move into a nursing home outside of the VA health system that provides them medications. VA benefits only cover the drugs a beneficiary gets from a VA pharmacy, and Part D plans cover drugs within the plan's network. Cover veterans with Medicare is the final section. The Department of Veterans Affairs strongly encourages senior veterans to enroll in Medicare as soon as they become eligible. Well, that's good to know. I would not have been able to offer that advice coming from the Department of Veterans Affairs until I read this article. So apparently it's universal. Everybody thinks that even though you have access to VA benefits, you should enroll in Medicare. By enrolling on time, they can avoid a lifelong Part B penalty, that's B as in Bravo, and they can have a secondary source of healthcare coverage in case their VA benefits are ever reduced or removed. So with that kind of coverage, the nation they once protected can offer them a nationwide network of doctors, facilities, and professionals ready to offer great care. As an agent, you can help veterans get this peace of mind. Show them the way to amplify their coverage and get the care they deserve. Well, that's a little self-serving, but it is aimed at agents, arming them with advice that one can give to veterans that's considered creditable. In other words, the Department of Veterans Affairs strongly recommends that veterans enroll in VA and in your regular Medicare coverages as well, because they do have a purpose of, you know, working together. So that's my story about VA, and it has clarified what my thoughts were about it.
That's your story and you're sticking to it?
I'm sticking to it until I read something else. And I'm glad to have the confirmation that I was right all along by offering people the conservative choice, which is more protection is better than less protection, even if it costs a few bucks more.
Well, I'm kind of like you are. I'm always, you know, I've always said I'm a conservative and, you know, in order to be protected, I'm one of these guys that not only wears a belt, but I wear a suspenders with my belt.
I've noticed that you're very nappily dressed or nattily dressed, I guess it is.
And so that way, no matter what fails, I have got a backup plan.
Yeah, good for you. There's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely not. Well, I'm glad you shared your sartorial decisions with me, but it seems like the old clock on the wall is telling us it might be time to go. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, the crickets have spoken. The crickets have chirped, and now they are on the way out of the office. And I think we probably better sign it off. But before we do that, I want to certainly encourage people to get to Amazon.com, get a copy, get several copies, get a crate of copies of Doug's book, Medicare for the Lazy Man, Simplest and Easiest Guide Ever. Get one, whether it's printed, get one, whether it's in audio format, get one, whether it's in electronic format, but we've got just about everything your little heart could desire, but otherwise just go there and get one. Don't pass go. Do not collect $200.
That's good advice. And then someday after my move is completely finished and I've returned to Arizona, there will be a 2022 version. Won't be hugely different, but some of the details will be different, and then we'll be hawking those.
Well, given the fact that Doug will be in Arizona when he finishes it, there will be a big grin on his face from ear to ear.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. I don't like being up north where it's cold and snowy, and I'm anxious to hop in the car and head back down south.
You so got that right. Randy.
Well, thanks for clarifying everything.
Yeah, we thank the audience for joining us again. As always, thanks for joining us. We know you could be 1,053 different places, but you weren't. You were here listening to Doug and his great number one, top of the list advice about Medicare and everything Medicare. So thanks for doing that. But in the meantime, you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma, and the guy that I know is thinking about getting a very special tow rope.
$300? I'm not so sure now. Bye-bye, everyone.